not keep you a long, long time on this. I just wanted to take some time, and Pastor Tom, Pastor Penny set it up for me to share some things about Safe Harbor, what we're about, and give you an opportunity, if you have any questions about Safe Harbor, myself or one of the team to be able to answer this for you. We're so glad that you're here. You know, Safe Harbor International Network of Ministers came out of something I shared last night when I burned out of the ministry in 89. And when I got restored, one of the things that was in my heart and in Janice's heart, my wife, is we wanted to, at a certain point there, we got to the place where we decided we wanted to do all that we could to prevent other people from experiencing the tragedy of burnout. Because the ministry, up until from 1981, 1982 to 1989, was pretty much based on how fast I could run, how hard I could push, and all the things that we could do. And so it burned me out. And that was a discovery during that time of I've really got some really crooked beliefs about who God is. Because as I said, as you've heard it said today, and again, weren't the sessions just fantastic this morning? My. Man. So it was the beginning of us getting a hold of what we now embrace as the goodness of God, the gospel of peace and grace, God's unconditional love. That was the beginning process. And one of the things we're talking about, as Pastor Tom said this morning, we're still kind of peeling the layers off of this thing. We've not arrived in it yet. We're getting some of the pieces put together, but like all of us, we're growing in the knowledge. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, he said, you know, he's the one who kind of wrote the Bible, you know, said, oh, that I could know him. You know, man, I tell you, and I think about Paul saying that, and so we never get to the place where we understand all of these wonderful truths to the fullest extent, but we're striving to do that. So in April of 2003, my wife, Janice, and I, with a group of like-minded people, got together, spent a few days together, just tossing around the idea that Janice and I had. We pitched it to a group of leaders, Pastor Tom and Penny, Pastor Ron Allen, his wife, and I think Arthur's not here right now. And so there were some of the founding leadership team, along with some other people. We met, and Janice and I just shared our heart. And one of the things that we talked about was we wanted to create a safe environment for ministers. A safe place to have problems and not be written off. A safe place to come and say, I need help in this particular area of my ministry and not feel embarrassed about it. So we got a real good group together then, and we've added, you know, some leadership team since then. I know that Pastor Steve is one of, he and his wife are some of our leaders. But it was out of that time together that we launched our organization solely for the purpose of helping people like you, people in other countries, people in America, that rally around one thing, goodness and grace, the grace of God, but all wanting to experience it for ourselves first, and most importantly. And so I'm just going to kind of read through. If you did not get one of these, I won't read the whole thing. I'm just going to kind of talk about the statement of purpose. It was a form, some information on my CD table back there. You can pick one of those up and look into it. But I'm just going to talk about the purpose mainly. You can read the other information and your membership and all those things and what all that means. But I really want you to understand more than anything the heartbeat of it. And more than anything, we want you to know as a leadership team, we're not here to get something from you. We're here to help you. We're not here to take advantage of you. And we are committed to the long term. We're not going to fade away. We're going to be here. And we're going to expand our efforts, you know, over the next years. So our purpose, first of all, as we've already said, but is to help church leaders get grounded in God's unconditional love, freeing them from a performance mentality. See, it's hard when you in ministry and you have a performance mentality. Because we believe that it's only when a person is free from having to perform in order to be accepted that they'll experience the freedom to fulfill the calling upon their life. And again, we emphasize that throughout the sessions, but I can't not emphasize it enough. We're not accepted because of what we do. We're accepted because of who we are and who God says He is and who He says we are. It is our goal and our purpose to develop meaningful relationships. There's a survey done in America by Barna Research that said 70% of pastors do not have anyone they call a close friend. They don't have any. They don't have one person in their life, 70%, 7 out of 10 pastors, people in ministry, not just pastors, but people in ministry, do not have a person that they feel like that they can be honest with, open with. Have you ever seen that where if a person, a pastor in particular minister, shared their problem, it's like it spread like wildfire? It's our heart and our desire to create an environment where you have relationships. And one of the things, and Pastor Tom and Ron, you were there. One of the things that we said, we are not interested in building a gigantic, huge organization. If that happens, fine. But if not, fine. But the thing that we are committed to is developing relationships. And one of the things that we committed to at that time, back in 2004, was if the organization ever lost relationships, we would close it. That we would remind each other what this is really about. It's not about a number. We don't want you to be a number in a computer. We want you to be a real person. And we want to be real to you. And so, we want to be in relationship with you. Because all of us are in desperate need of relationships. Another purpose that we discussed and decided that ties into what number two was, but to be a friend, and a confidant in a time of need. All of us are faced with challenges in life and ministry. All of us. And all of us need someone that we can trust, that we can voice how we're feeling. And folks, I'm telling you, that is so foreign to the church today, it is incredible. Because we're so afraid, because of, again, insecurities that are, especially among ministers, we're so afraid to share our feelings. We keep everything bottled up on the inside. And we spend our lives with a lot of pain, needing to help, get it help, but we're afraid to do that. We're here to recover. Listen closely to this. We're here to recover and restore discouraged leaders. There are a lot of leaders that are discouraged. Anybody ever been discouraged? We've all been discouraged. Religion kills the wounded and regards them of little value. It's our heart to reach out to those that have fallen or have become discouraged, that have lost hope for future ministry. You know, we firmly believe that scripture in Romans when it says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I like what the Amplified Bible says. It says God's gifts and callings are irrevocable. Once He gives you a call, He never takes it back. So we're here to help recover ministers when they fall. And listen to this. That only happens through relationship. That does not happen just by being in an organization. That happens by developing relationships with people that can help you. We all need each other. We all get discouraged. We're here to provide resources for leadership growth. Let me start over on that one. We're here to provide resources for personal and leadership growth that are rooted in grace and peace. Because only through continual learning can we maintain a fresh edge and insight into effective ministry for our generation. You know, I know that Pastor Ron has websites and different people have, you know, websites that have resources on it. on our website, you can go by our table and get one of our cards. If you have internet access, we have hundreds of sermons on there that you can download the audio or the video. We got tons, hundreds of our videos on there that you can download for free and listen to, watch those things. I mean, there's tons of them. So if you go by our table tonight and get one of the cards and give you our web address, and you can go on there. But it's our heart to put resources into your hands to take the experience that we and others that have gone before us have experienced and put it in your hands so you can go further, faster than we do. Our goal is that you become everything you can be and that you exceed everything we've ever done for God and the ministry. That's our heart. You know, we want you, and I have to be careful how I say this, because I love what Pastor Birdie said this morning. We want you to be successful in doing what God has called you to do. And we want to do everything we can to help you, put tools in your hand, to have these conferences like this and here in Zimbabwe and wherever else God leads us to go. Because we want to take our life experience, and a lot of us have been through the, what we'd call back in the States, the school of hard knocks. Amen. Want to know what I'm talking about? Like, you learn the hard way. Bible says a wise man learns from other people's mistakes. We want you to learn from our mistakes. Because I'm telling you right now, all of us at leadership team will tell you we have made and we do make a lot of mistakes. And we will share with you our mistakes. You know, because we, like you, none of us are perfect. None of us all make, we don't always make the right decisions. To develop leaders that'll expand God's kingdom in the earth. Listen to this, because whatever happens in the leader is duplicated in the follower. Remember that. Whatever happens in you, all your ministry will ever be is a byproduct of what's happening in you. So when I was a legalistic Pharisee, preaching, as I said last night, like everybody was going to hell and I was happy they were. Why did I do that? Because that was what was happening in me. Because I felt like I could never measure up. Therefore, my people could never measure up. And because I didn't feel like I measured up and my people didn't measure up. Did you love what Pastor Birdie said this morning about taking the person in the wheelbarrow and taking him up to the gate and he jumps out and runs back? Wasn't that great? I thought, I've done that a few times. But all of us as leaders, we have to constantly be reminded that our ministry will never be any more than effective than what's happening in us personally. Remember, what happens between you and God is more important than what comes out of you for God. And don't ever forget that. We're here to remind each other of that. We're here to work together with others for greater effectiveness. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says that two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. So we're here to work together in conferences, crusades, whatever means we have presented to us for a common purpose. Listen, we're not here building our kingdom. We're here to build His kingdom. And I'm telling you, we're here to work together for a common purpose. I love the way Pastor Steve does his crusades when he goes in and he involves pastors that can help the people that come in contact with the crusade and get these people saved, and they have a church to go to. And I know Pastor Birdie does the same when he goes out and does those things. And so we're here not to build our kingdom. It's not about our kingdom. It's about His kingdom. And so we're here to work together around the goodness and the graciousness of God. And I can tell you this, from this organization, that's one thing you're going to hear from now until all this leadership team passes off the scene. Until Jesus comes or we die. I tell our people all the time, they say, well, I get tired of hearing that. Get another church. Because it's not changing. The theme and the message of what this thing is about is not going to change. You know, Paul said in one of the scriptures in Ephesians, he says that one of the translations says it talks about the fivefold ministry has been given to us for the maturing of the saints to do the work of the ministry. But I love what I think the Message Bible says there. It says that we grow up into Him, I think the King James says, but the Message Bible says, so that we're not forever being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. I tell you one thing you're going to get from this organization, you're going to get a consistent message. Have you noticed it in the conference? Have you noticed there's not been one person stand up and preach legalism? It's not going to happen. You know, when I pray about, and Janice and I think about the conferences that we do, not only here but back in the States or wherever, you know, we pray about who's going to be speaking and who's going to be talking because we want to hear from God. We all want to be influenced by God. But I can promise you this. You're always going to have a consistent message. How many of you remember Dr. Kenneth Hagin, who's with the Lord now? Brother Hagin, no matter what he taught on, he always got back and talked about faith. And no matter what any of us talk about, we're always going to end up talking about the love of God. Why? Because that is the gospel. That is the heart of the gospel. That is the foundation by which everything else in this, the promises of God in the Bible works from. I love what Pastor Tom said, and the other speakers have said it too, and we'll say it again. But this is not a message that we just put on a shelf and pull it off every once in a while and preach it. And so together, you know, we work together for greater effectiveness. Another one of our purposes is to provide licensing, ordination, oversight, and accountability for ministers. But let me say this, not control. This is this. We're not starting a denomination. We're not here to lord over you. We're here to help you. We all need accountability. But accountability and lordship is two different things. We have one Lord. He's Jesus. And so this, and let me just add this, and I hope you've already caught this by now, but the leadership team of Safe Harbor is here to serve you. You're not here to serve the team. We're here to help you. Now together, we'll work together. That you have something to offer. I have something to offer. You know, every one of us individually have something to offer. And together we become something we could never be all by ourselves. I tell you, I just love the different personalities and the way the different people have presented the gospel even today. I love that scripture in the Message Bible where it says that the variety of who we are and how God made us is wonderful. I'm telling you, I'm glad God made us different. Amen? All ministers need accountability and support, and being connected to a larger body beyond a local church provides this and increases credibility and influence. We're here to develop and prepare the way for the next generation of leaders. I don't know if you've looked in the mirror lately, but we're getting older. And I know my heart and Janice's heart and our leadership team's heart is to prepare the next generation of leaders. To get younger men and women of God to come along beside us and let us pour into their lives. So that when they get our age, they're way further down the road with influencing the world with the gospel than we are. That's our heart. We have to do that. You know, I know that myself and Janice in particular, I know the leadership team feels the same way, but one of the things that beats in our heart is the next generation. You know, why? Because there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, you know, and they served God up until then, up until a certain place, and then there came a generation that did not know God. I don't want a generation coming behind me on my watch that does not know God. And so we want to impart into younger leaders coming up. I mean, younger leaders that are going to shake the world with the gospel. That are going to go out and do crusades. It'll draw 100,000 people that'll come to 100,000 people to come to Jesus in a crusade. Steve, I know you do crusades. Nothing would thrill you any more than to train up somebody that have 100,000 people come to Jesus in one crusade. Man. Someone once said that success without a successor is no success at all. So we must do all we can to equip and prepare the next generation for effective ministry. In other words, if when this leadership team dies, Jesus tarries that long and waits that long to come. When this leadership team dies, if Safe Harbor dies, we failed. And the same would go for you and your ministry, whatever you do. I tell you, I want the next generation to go further, Ron. You know, that's what Jesus told the disciples. He said, "In greater works than these shall you do." He said, "Because I go to my Father." Another purpose is to develop ministries of excellence and integrity. People around the world are searching for someone that they can trust. And the church should be the first place they look, not the last. I don't know how it is in Africa, but I can tell you in America, preachers are not the most trusted person in town. That is very sad. We should be the most trusted people in town. People with the utmost integrity. We're here to reach out to the masses through with God's love, through evangelism, with organized efforts in the world, organized efforts that can change the world. But here's also a deal. We're here to influence the world one person at a time. Why? Because we believe that every person is important. Every person is important. I know Steve told a story about some folks in their 90s. In their 90-year age bracket, coming to a crusade, walking there to get saved. You know what? That was worth the whole crusade to see that one couple come to know Jesus. Amen. Recently, we had it's been about a year ago now, we had an 85-year-old man give his life to Christ in one of our services. You know, everything we do is worth that one man because one person's important. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "And Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of custom. He said, 'Come and follow me.'" The unique part about that verse, I think I shared this at the conference last year. The unique part about that verse is all the other Gospels recorded as Jesus passed by and he saw a tax collector named Matthew. But Matthew said when he passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of custom. Matthew said he didn't see a tax collector. He saw a man. And when God looks at us, He looks at us as individuals. Yes, we want to reach the masses. But I'm telling you, not at the expense of one. Every person's valuable. Every person's important. Every person that you and I come in contact with. You know, our vision statement states that we believe that God has called us to raise up a group of emotionally whole, theologically sound ministers who are actively involved and passionate about influencing their families, community, state, nation, and their world with God's unconditional love. That is our vision. But I want you to notice that the first thing that it says there that we're passionate about is influence our families. One of the things you'll hear consistently from us is your family is more important than your ministry. A lot of times ministers sacrifice their family on the altar of ministry. They raise up children that don't want to serve God because all ministry ever was something that took my mom and dad away from me. We made a determination early on in our ministry that if we lost our children, it would not be over the ministry. So what if you win the world and you lose your family in the process? So our vision is to instill that in you, first of all, as ministers, how important your family is. One of our staff members, who is a South African, he and his wife are South Africans. They've been with us for 5 years now. His wife is expecting a child and had some health difficulties yesterday. So I sent him an email. And I said, "You're not permitted, you're not allowed to go to the office until after the birth of this child and your wife is back on her feet. Why? Because they're more important than what he does. Well, how long is it going to take? I have no idea. I said, I know you got a lot of projects in the queue. But I'm telling you right now, those projects can wait. Because your baby and your wife are more important than what you do. People can wait. And we want to instill that in you. But you know, that's only possible as you become emotionally whole. Our mission statement, see, our vision statement describes where we're going. Our mission statement describes how we get there. And here's what we are. We are a relationship-oriented organization. When we have our conferences, the speakers and the leaders are not going to eat in a private room. In the States, that's a big thing. You come to a conference and all the speakers are then ushered into a private room, away from everybody, not going to happen with this organization. Why? You're just as important as we are. We are a relationship-oriented ministry organization that exists to reach out and touch church leaders, grounding them in God's unconditional love, thus creating a safe harbor for personal growth in ministry. You know, some of the things that we do have available already for your training, of course, it's a school that Tom and Penny have established. It's going to be a great correspondence tool that you'll be able, and they'll be talking about that tomorrow afternoon in the session, how you can get involved in getting grounded. You know, it's like this. If you come to a meeting, a conference once a year, and thank God, and you should, and you study the Bible and these things by yourself only, it'll take you quite a while to really get rooted and grounded, but if you were to start taking the School of Ministry courses, it accelerates the process in what you're grasping, because there's a concentrated study on different subjects. And so we've developed that, not because we were looking for something to do. It's not like, no, we're not busy enough, but we wanted to make an investment in your life, in your family, and in your ministry. And so that's one of the tools that we have available. I've already mentioned the website and CDs and conferences and all those things that we have. We're so excited about where we are, but also where we're headed. So we want to get tools into your hand that can launch you forward. You know, one of the things, and I skipped over this a minute ago, but, you know, and I didn't make the statement. I didn't make the second part of the statement. Safe Harbor is a place you can come and get advice. Because I figured out a long time ago, I do not have the whole picture. And there's other people that I need in my life to speak into my life to help me when I don't have direction or not clear about where I need to go. Tom and Penny, of course, I think most of you know this. Penny made reference to it. But they've been in Africa going on 3 years now, so they're going to be moving back to the United States at the end of this year. Now, you that are in close relationship with them, and we'll be discussing this some more in the days ahead and how we're going to do this or even in the conference here. But with them going back to the States, I just made myself a note, we're not going to leave you helpless. We're not going to abandon you. You're not going to look up one day and we do not exist in South Africa and Zimbabwe. It's not going to happen. You know, Pastor Steve, stand up, Steve. I think everybody probably knows you spoke this morning. Pastor Steve is going to become, I guess you'd say, the main contact and overseer of what we do here in Africa with a team working with him. And so, Pastor Tom and I were talking earlier about all the contact information that is in the book refers to them and Ben. But correspondence that you start getting from this moment forward is also going to have Pastor Steve's contact information in there as we make the transition. You know, when Jesus told the disciples, I'm going back to heaven, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And, you know, we're not going to leave you as orphans. You know, we're going to do everything we can to reach out to touch you, even in a more effective way. And now that's Tom and Penny's heart. And as they go into the next phase of their life and their ministry, we thank God for what they've imparted and implanted and gave such a great foundation for us to be able to build with you on for now and forever. And one of our hearts with the school was, I know when Tom and Penny were working with us, that was to leave something behind that outlives us. And I know that's their heart. And so we're going to be, yes, we'll be going through a transition of leadership. But I'm telling you, you're not going to be by yourself. You're not going to be forsaken. Why? Because we're here. I say this. This is not a religious statement. This is not a little spiritual thing that I would throw out here. We're here because we love you. And we want to help you become everything God wants you to be personally. And we want you to walk out your ministry and enjoy it. We firmly believe that ministry should be fun. You know, most places, if you're having fun, people think you're in sin. Amen. But anyway, so we're not going to leave you by yourself, and we're here for the long term. I wrote it down, you know, in my notes. We're here. We're not going anywhere. You know, we'll be here, and we want to be everything we can to help you. We have in the world right now, we have roughly 170 members in seven different countries. A lot of the members are in the United States, but we have members in seven different countries. And if you're ever able to come, we'd love to have you to come to our February conference we have every year. And some of you have been there over in the United States at our church back in February. So you'll see some things about that. But we're going to keep coming to you. You may not can come to us, but we're coming to you. Again, because we love you. Because we know, Janice and I know that all of our leadership team knows what it feels like to be alone. It's scary. You know, one of the things I think to me the most valuable things about relationship is you find out that other people are going through stuff. That's what Scripture says. There's nothing comes to you except it's common. Now, it doesn't necessarily, I said this the other day, it doesn't necessarily make my pain less if I have a broke leg and Steve has one. But we kind of can relate to each other. You see, we're here to live as open books before you. I can say this about the leadership team. What you see is who they are. I'm telling you, they're not one person here and another person behind the scene. I want to take just a minute and see if any leadership team, Ron or Steve or Tom, any of you guys want to say anything? You want to say something? Okay. How many pastors that take turn on microphone?
Thank you. Greetings, everybody. One of the things that I just kept hearing the Spirit of God say to my heart while Pastor Allen was speaking was that something I learned a couple of years ago from Pastor Walker and Haley Shures, is follow the favor. Where you find favor, follow that favor. And, you know, one of the things that you have seen exhibited here at for the past 3 years, and you will continue to see exhibited, is favor towards you. You know, there we favor you, we love you, and when you recognize the favor, hang with the favor, follow that favor, and you know, if you're looking for the goodness of God, or if you're looking for an organization that I think has already proven that we're willing to invest in you. You know, we've already proven that favor that we have in our heart is for you. You know, follow that favor. Follow where that goes. And that favor is in safe harbor for you. That favor to give you an organization that will serve you, that's already proven it's going to serve you, that's already proven that it cares about you. You can you can rest in your heart to know that that favor is there. And I think that I think all of our leadership team can say, you are highly favored. Amen. Highly favored, that we love you very much. You know, we have families, we have churches, we have responsibilities in different places that are amazing, awesome. You know, and those responsibilities that we have, we still cannot let go of you. It's like it's in our heart. It's in our heart that even though we have great responsibilities at our homes and great responsibilities in ministries with our families and great responsibilities that we incur, you are on our heart. We care about this nation. We care about this continent. We care about the surrounding nations. We care about what's happening here. And I think I could just share with you, just follow the favor. I mean, it's safe for you to do that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rob. Dee?
Pastors, I want you to look around. See who are we trying to reach. Is it the Mazungu Maruti? Look around. Who are we trying to reach? Am I trying to reach the Mazungu in the northern suburbs? Pastor, we want to reach you. We want to reach you. Some of those guys, they don't need help, or they think they don't need help. We want to reach you, Pastor. We want to help you. Can you see that? And not only can you see that, can you feel it? Can you feel it in your heart? You are valuable because you, Pastor, are the one who can influence this continent.
Yeah, that's right.
You can influence this continent. So we want to reach you. We want to help you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, Pastor Steve. Amen. Yes, yes, sir. Amen. We'll take just a minute and if you have questions pertaining to Safe Harbor, if you want to ask a question, we'll give you an opportunity to do so. Again, we, as Pastor Ron and Pastor Steve said, we're here for you. Follow favor. That was great, Ron. I love that. Follow the favor. Because as Pastor Ron said, we could be in a lot of places doing a lot of things. But you are in our heart. God put Africa in my heart way back in the 80s before I ever had any opportunities to come here. And you are in our heart. Does anybody have a question about Safe Harbor? There's information out there that will explain a lot of things that we don't necessarily have to take time to answer, but yes. We want everybody to be sure to hear you.
Okay, thank you. My question is, maybe before I even ask a question, let me first appreciate the Safe Harbor Leadership Team for putting all this together for us so that we can learn, you know, and grow in the love of God. But my question is, this is my second year. I was here last year. I met with Pastor Steve and his wife, Pastor Tom and his wife, and other ministers as well in South Africa. But I really enjoy what God is doing in this place. It has actually changed my life as well. I'm now a minister of God's unconditional love.
Amen.
But one question I have, after these conferences, is there anything that can be happening in between while we are waiting for an annual conference to make sure that this is just a conference, but it is a lifestyle?
Yep.
I don't know if that makes sense.
That's a good question. I want to answer that in part and then let Steve talk about some ideas too.
But
we see having smaller conferences in different townships, different places of influence, and Steve, you probably could put more definition to that than I can.
You'll see we're going to hand out a questionnaire tonight because we want your information. Okay, we want to know who you are, where do you stay, Which township are you in? Which country are you in? Which pastor's fraternal are you with? Because what we are wanting to do with Pastor Ben, will you stand up? And Pastor Ben.
Pastor Ben,
you can also
Ben.
Stand up, Pastor yep. Ben. Thank you. You can sit down again. What we want to do is we want to do conferences like this in your area. So those of you who are from Zimbabwe who know me, you know that we come to your town and we do conferences like this in your town and we do follow-up conferences in your town. Amen. And that's why these pastors from Zimbabwe are here. Because of what they've heard that has touched and helped them and why they want to come here again. So we are going to be implementing the same thing here in South Africa. That we can come to you and keep you encouraged and keep you built up in the love of God. So I would encourage you, the questionnaire, the papers that we're going to hand out, is we want to create a database so that we can be able to locate where people are. Because you might be here from Velcom and you might not know that there's someone else from Velcom. You know, by chance. Maybe you know everybody there in Velcom, but maybe there isn't. So that if we come to Velcom, or if we go to Marabastat, or if we go to Womaranstat, or wherever, we can contact people in that area and say, look, we're going to be there this weekend. Okay, so that we can keep the relationship. Okay, amen. So you can see our heartbeat, that's on the, what we're planning for next year. So please take those forms, fill them in and hand them back. If you don't give us that information, then we can't. Then we might lose touch with you. And we don't want that. Okay, that answers your question, Axe. Thank you, Pastor.
I love your name, Axe. It's awesome, man. Anyone else? Where? Right here. Yeah. Okay, here's one, then there's one.
I greet all of the servants of God, the members, the leader members at large. I'm so happy and I'm so blessed. I tried to sit back, but the Spirit is not allowing me because God has speak marvelous things, excellent, wonderful, as He as being a good God. The time I met Mrs. Penny and Mrs. Tom Cooper, Mr. Cooper, Tom Cooper, it was during the process of God lifting me up to be a pastor. Then so it was intentions and the plan of the Lord that during that time He should send them so that I may meet them together with Ben Lekalak. And now I will be launching my ministry, my new ministry, on the 1st and 2nd to the 3rd of October, and they will be part of my launching of my ministry. I'm thanking God very, very much to eternity. Amen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Someone had a question right here.
Thank you very much. Myself is not a question as such. It's a contribution. I think it is my desire or some other people's desire so that you can have a bit of counseling sessions. Because what you have taught us here, I think you have healed a lot of wounds. But I think there is need of of a bit of counseling sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You know, if you do need some personal contact to sit down face-to-face, one-on-one with someone and ask questions, please see the leadership team. Any of the leadership team will be happy to talk to you, happy to minister to you. Tomorrow night, we're going to do some one-on-one ministry, personal ministry tomorrow night in the service. But if you do have that need, it is one thing to come and hear a message, but now to process this thing and work it through our belief system and our heart is sometimes you've got to have somebody to coach you in that. And so, if you have something you need to talk to somebody about, our leadership team, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Okay, right over here.
Thank you. My name is Stephen from Fosloras. I want to thank God for being invited in this conference, first time this year, by one of my neighbors, a pastor. They invited me and then invited my friend as well. I'm being healed in this conference today. I'm healed. My question is this, is can't you have a satellite in the townships where at least we can have other pastors in the township, unlike coming so far? Because there's a lot of, I believe there's a lot of pastors who are still wounded up, and then they need maybe us to reach them as well.
Sure.
For this healing.
Yeah, and that's what Pastor Steve was talking about, being able to go into those townships, because there are, we know there's people out there that, that you have influence with, or you as a pastor has influence with, that you can get in a conference. And so we come to you out there, because I know it's difficult for everyone to come here. And that's what Pastor Steve was talking about. That's the plan that we've developed and we're going to do. Because we want to do everything possible, humanly possible, that we can to get the gospel into your hands. Even on a small, I mean, thank God, I love big conferences, but you know, there's something about even smaller conferences that can even be more productive, because there's more time to have that personal time with the people that are sharing with you. Yes, right here. Thank you for having me out, Doug.
Thank you very much, especially for this conference. It's helping us so much, especially on my side. I'm Pastor Mnyarazi Shumba from Zimbabwe. Actually, my question is based on your vision statement. You were talking of influencing the families, and the community, the state, and the nations, and so forth. But I was actually concentrating on the families, because most of us as ministers, I think that's where we are failing much to handle, because it seems much of our concentration is on the community, the nation, and the other people. But our families, like I could have been privileged if I would manage to bring my wife together with me to come and hear all this together. I wanted to ask whether you have got something separate, like a seminar which will only focusing on that, having a minister or a pastor and the wife together ministering, because that's where wounds, like me, I can represent my colleagues from Zimbabwe. Last year, we had quite a lot of things which would come upon the families. You'd find the cholera things, you find the political things, you find the, you know, children would not go to school. You can spend 9 months with a child in the house, and that would be actually threatening you. Even the ministry-wise, you're not doing it effectively. So there are wounds within, you know. So, yeah, now if you compare probably with the these people who will be in the secular jobs and what, they will be probably managing to go for private teachers and what. But now when it comes to pastors, the level how they get incomes and what is very low. And having a child for 9 months at home, just having that. So I wanted to know whether you have staff only concentrating for the families with their ministers.
Yeah, that's a good, you know, it's a good question, because to not offer something for your families will be kind of going against our vision statement. And definitely, you know, again, sometimes it could be a big conference, but sometimes it may be we come in and do a smaller conference on a husband-wife relationship. Parenting your children. I know with my wife and I, this Sunday, as I said last night, it'll be 34 years. And we've done that in the ministry. And we've been happy most of those years in the ministry. There's a few years that I burned out. I'm happy with each other, but dissatisfied with the ministry. So, as I said last night, ministry should not be something that takes away from the quality of your life, but it should add to it. So the answer to the question is yes, we do want to do that. And we are going to do that. Is offer things to you as a pastor or a leader, something that would help your family. Because again, if your family, if you don't win your family, if you don't have your family, it doesn't mean anything. It's empty at the end of the day. So yes, that's a good question, and thank you for bringing that up. Let's take one other question. Okay, we'll take two more questions here, and then we're going to call it an afternoon, let you get some rest, and you can pick up some more information. Ask us as leaders any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you very much. Greetings to everyone. I'm personally blessed. Very well, it's my second time here. It's beautiful. I'm enjoying it, and I brought some few friends as well. It's just a concern or a contribution or a suggestion that in the Safe Harbor Committee, can't we probably have one or two African pastors who will participate as well,
mm-hmm.
who directly come from the townships and
yes.
the villages, who understands our situation, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They could also participate in sharing.
Sure.
Would be surprised.
Yeah.
The reason why we are blessed is because the gospel you preach, that's exactly what we mm-hmm. preach. So would love that it should be more multiracial,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be more blessed. It is fine now. We are blessed. I love
it. I understand.
And I'm part of it. But we could mingle. We could make it more beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And I agree with that. And the selection of the speakers is based on one thing. It's not any other thing than making sure we have all the speakers rooted and grounded in where we're going. So as we develop further, and we get more people established in this, that'll be a definite, without a doubt, without a doubt. But the whole emphasis is the selection of the speakers is based on people that Janice and I are comfortable with knowing for sure. Because, you know, the last thing I would ever want to do, and if I had to, I would be get up after a speaker and correct it. Because if legalism came out, I would do that. Because we're not going to have mixed messages. So, yes, the answer to the question is I agree 100%. And it's all a matter of as we develop the organization and we develop relationships. See, all of the speakers that we have, we are in relationship with. So as we develop relationships with you or Pastor Steve does or one of the Pastor Bens do, then, yes, that's an absolute, without a doubt. I mean, totally, 100%. That's a very good question. Thank you. One other question, I think, right here, Matthew.
Well, it's not a question. It's a contribution that I mentioned to you earlier on, really, that we thank God for your life, Ellen Spiegel, with your wife. Had it not because of you, we wouldn't really have been exposed to the love of God in the measure that we have been exposed to. Like I mentioned earlier on, you know, I believe God wants to do something in South Africa. And even if He wants to do something, He will always have a person that He will use to accomplish that which He wants to do. And we thank God for first having used you, Pastor Allen. And then we expect God also, like one of our pastors mentioned here, that the material that we have been fed here, the Word of God, and really the love of God that has been imparted in our hearts through teachings, prayer, and everything that you guys have done, you know, for us in South Africa, I believe we are ready now. I believe I don't suggest that that this relationship should not continue forever. But all what I'm saying is that what we have received thus far really can carry us too far, you know.
Amen.
It can carry us somewhere. So what I'm trying to say is that we are not going to depend upon you for our own future and responsibility, you know.
Amen. Okay.
We thank God that we will use the material that we have and the teachings that we have to go back to our communities and to be the kind of leaders that God wants us to be.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen. You know, and the last thing we want to do is get you dependent on us. We want you to be independent in your. Well, we don't want you to feel like you have to have us. You only have to have one, and that's God. And so thank you so much. Sure.
I'm Pastor Doug from East London, Imonti, and I've been in the ministry since 1976, and it's been a long time, and I belong to a very big organization at one time, and also a very big church at one time, and I've heard it three times that I've been wounded and I've been healed. I've been wounded and I've been healed. And I think most of you be sitting here have been wounded and been healed. I just want to say that there are a lot of you that are still associated with organizations. You are still associated with other ministries. You need to come to a place of deciding this is where you need to be. This is where your needs and your resources will be met. You need to go to God and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into making a firm decision as to what you want to do. Because you can't walk two roads. I tried that. I tried to walk with the folk that I was associated with. And then I was in betwixt and between. I was confused. I had the men who were confusing me. And when I met Brother Allen in 2006 at the launch of their first time ministry in America, I had this liberty and the freedom of the love of God. And I didn't have to perform. And a month later I came back to South Africa, I had to perform. Because I haven't got a big church. I've only got 80, 90 people in my church. And here I was trying to perform, trying to build a big church, trying to build a big ministry. And here they were saying, man, you don't have to worry about it. And so you need to be careful who you're associating with, who your leadership is. And you need to come to a place of recognizing this ministry is a safe harbor. And some of you need to steer your ships into this harbor and find a safety that really satisfies. Amen.
You know, only you can decide, and I know that's what Pastor Doug was saying, only you can decide what you need to do, how you need to do it. One of the things that I will emphasize and clarify just a little bit here is we're not an exclusive organization. You know, in other words, we're working for a common purpose. And so, again, we're not building our kingdom, but you pray about it. And if you do want to be a part, we're not going to press you into it. But if you do want to be a part, or if you want more information, there's some information on our CD table back there that you can read through and pray about and think about if this is where God would have you to be. And I think the dividing thing is the message. You know, you can't mix the messages. It just won't work. And so you pray about it. You decide if you want to be a part. We'd love to have you, but if not, that's fine too. You know, we're not going to be mad at you, upset at you. Disenfranchise you, push you away from us, and say you're not important because you're important to God. Therefore, you're important to us. And remember what God does in you. We're more concerned about that than what He does through you. So you've got to make your own decisions. You've got to decide. What's best for you, what's best for your family. Again, this meeting is not a pressure thing to try to get you to become. We just want to give you the information for you to pray about. And so there's no pressure, nobody holding a bat over your head, nobody's trying to get you to do something if you don't want to do it. This time.
No, you could just, if you run out of packets, we'll put a yellow sign up sheet.
Okay. Okay, if we do run out of the packets, we know we had a number of them printed. If we do run out of packets, if you would, I guess at the registration table, put your name on the list and they'll mail you one of these. That gives you all the information, everything about the organization. Again, you just pray about it. Can I still come to a conference if I'm not part of Safe Harbor? Absolutely. Absolutely. Matter of fact, our conference back in the States, Ron, don't you think we probably have more people that are not a part of it than are a part of it that come to it? So this is not about, so you're just out of here. That's not it, okay? You decide. You pray. Where does God want you? Where can you better fulfill your purpose? And that's the question you have to answer. Well, amen. Well, tonight's going to be exciting. I know Pastor Ron's going to be ministering. After all these sessions this morning, he is going to be fired up and ready. He is a wild man from America. You wait. We're going to turn him loose tonight. Anything else, Tom, Penny? Okay, God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. See you this evening.
Dinner at 5:30.